I don't know if I want to go after all this love. It's finally warming up in here a little bit. Sorry for that this morning. Our boiler was out, and we didn't know until we got here for worship practice. And keep on that. All right. This is the only green I could find. Sorry if you can't tell it's green from where you are. Happy St. Paddy's Day. Vaughn, I don't know if they got that Pentecostal handshake thing. Maybe we should do that again. You got another one of those? All right. He'll do it too. So it's an awesome day. I'm not going to be long here. I just want to say a few things that have been on my heart, and it's a bit of a scattershot this past week. Actually, I fell sick about 2.5 weeks ago, and that's right in the middle of when I'm really trying to pack everything and get set up to be able to head off. We are heading for about 6 weeks. I don't think Vaughn said that, but that's about the time frame that we're going to be cruising. We'll be driving for about 2 of those weeks, I'm sure. But so it's just the time I needed to really be getting stuff done, my health is out, and I tried to push a little bit, and then I'm back in bed. So I was like, let me just rest this through, and it took way longer than I thought. And but I'm feeling good now. I'm finally getting everything down to the last minute, trying to get things pulled together. And so the Lord's been just speaking little things here and there, and different things I've been picking up in my daily devotions and stuff. So this isn't maybe the most themed sermon that I have for you this morning, but there are some things here that I know need to be said. I know that they are very important for all of us. And Father, I thank you for this time. I just thank you for the heart of the people in this house, Lord, that you, in your creative design, Lord, by your plan, you've arranged for every person that's in this room right now, whether they live here in this area, whether they're just traveling through, you have arranged this time. You've orchestrated our lives and called us to be in this place right now. And for that, we just want to say thank you. We want to acknowledge your hand upon our lives, Lord. We want to acknowledge the call with which you have called every single person. And Lord, we just thank you that you've allowed us to hear your voice when you sent that call forth. And we just want to be so grateful this morning for your hand on this meeting and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I just have a simple phrase that the Lord, I sometimes wake up with things. I don't know when the Lord speaks to you, whether it's through your actual reading the Bible and a verse kind of comes to light, or whether you're just minding your own business and shampooing your hair, and then it's just you're just thinking about things that really you have no reason to think about them. And there's sometimes wise statements, sometimes it's a scripture that you'll remember, sometimes it's a person that you can begin to pray for because you just feel a burden for them. Or, you know, make sure you take advantage of those times. I'll just throw this in here. If you're just driving along and all of a sudden you start thinking about somebody, maybe you didn't see them for a couple of months or whatever, but for whatever reason, I hope I'm not the only person that has random thoughts. I think for whatever reason, maybe you're going through your texts or whatever, looking for something, and you see a text from 4 weeks ago or something, and you realize, and it just stands out to you, and you think, oh, don't just take for granted that that's just a random thing, that in your awareness now there is this person and this face that you see. Pray for them. Ask the Lord, is there a reason why I'm seeing this right now? Is there a reason? Is there something that they need from me? Is it a phone call? Is it something? And what you'll find? What I do? Lint. You don't have to. You can approach the bench anytime, honey. You don't need special permission. You can just come right up. Usually that finger means I'm in trouble. It's usually through the house window, the kitchen window or something. I see this finger when I'm outside working. That means I forgot my socks on the floor or something. No, she's not like that. I never do that anyway. Much? Not too much. By the bed, I leave those, yeah. But this one phrase, I think I was just minding my own business, shampooing my hair or something. No one is going to do it for you. Now, there are special situations and special circumstances in life, whether through paralysis or some medical issue. There are things that there's a season or a non-normal situation where other people need to do things for you that you just can't do for yourself. Understandably, I'm not here to argue that there aren't cases, that there aren't exceptions to this, but as a general rule, part of this new creation reality that Jesus established in the life force, the spirit that he placed inside every single one of us, is that he gave us the power to do for ourselves many, many things. And we had an amazing word that was spoken in Socrates about 2 weeks ago by my wife when we were just talking about there are certain things you have to understand. Only God can do those. Don't try to do them. Don't try to get somebody saved. Preach the gospel to them. Share your faith. Testify of his love. But you can't save them. You can't stop their habitual lifestyle. You can't do anything in your own strength to do anything about them. Pray for them. Hold them before the Lord. But don't carry. People try to carry things, and you're not designed to carry those things. That's just an example of what God only can do. There are other things that he's given us to do that we're waiting for him to do. We're waiting for him to do certain things in our lives. Sowing and reaping is one of the principles. We've just heard plenty about that, but it's one of the things, and it's not just money. It's every area of your life. If you lack something, if you don't have enough time, if there's not enough hours in your day, there's only one problem wrong with your life. You're not giving enough of your hours away. It's so simple. It is so simple. I challenge one person, anybody, I don't care who you are, because the Bible says that this principle will remain until the end of time on the planet. Seed time and harvest. Sowing and reaping. What you plant, you will pick. This principle will not go away until time on this planet ends. If you don't have enough hours in your day, yes, it's possible that you're wasting it on your own selfish desires. We have to throw that one in there as general principle. There is that possibility that you're actually a terrible time manager, and that's why you feel like you don't have enough time, but you actually do. It's just that the time that you do have is spent in front of the TV, or it's spent with conversations or whatever you're doing online, that you're just wasting time, okay? But if that's not the case for you, and there's just so much, you're busy, 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 you wake up and you're running and you're moving and you're going and you're nonstop and you don't have enough time, you're not giving any time away. Because whatever you sow, you will reap. And if there's one thing I had to slow myself down and realize in the craziness of my life, if I don't have enough time, I need to give some away. And that will challenge, it will bug you up front, because it defies every, it's the same way with money. Your finances are lacking. You're not giving, you're not generous. You haven't allowed the generous God that lives in you to begin to live out your life. You have to give sacrificially. My wife and I have testified. We've gone through that with money. There's been times where we didn't have enough, so we had to. Before we were part of this house where we know we want to just sow everything that we give here through the missions that we support from this place. We'd have to just think and pray, God, we're going to up our giving to this ministry. We're going to up our giving to the Sound of Life. We're going to increase our giving to the Pregnancy Support Center. God will bless you if you're blessing what's close to his heart. He can't help himself. His desire is to see unborn babies born way more than ours is. In hindsight, it's easy to understand how when we couldn't make a mortgage payment or we couldn't pay our taxes or everything was delayed, I can see why. Because God will always honor that. He wants to touch people, but he's not always going to do it through your abundance. Sometimes he'll do it through what you feel you lack, because it's a greater sacrifice. But I testify to you this morning, whatever it is, time, finances, health, are you sowing into your health? Are you sacrificially fasting? Are you sacrificially working out? Are you putting your body? That's sowing. Sowing to the natural body is exercise. It's discipline. It's diet. All these things. If you're doing that, you're going to reap a harvest of health. This is just the principles. You can't evade. You can't pray for. You can pray for divine health to the degree that you're willing to put your faith out and do what you're called to do. It has to be both. You have to, like we talked about last week with the silly illustration with the block and tackle for those that were here, you've got to put your faith in as one of those pulleys. You need all three. But you've got to mix it in. You have to put your faith in with it, with the Holy Spirit's power and his grace and what he's going to accomplish and the faith that he gives back to you. But we have to understand there are certain things no one's going to do it for you. And this is the scripture I want to use here. There's a couple of them. I'll just read them. You can go there if you're quick, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time waiting for you. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. And Paul's telling Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul's acknowledging there was a time when I laid my hands on you under the inspiration of God as an apostle of God. I laid my hands on you and a gift was deposited to you. But he's telling Timothy, he's reminding him, you stir up the gift that's in you. You stir it up. You have to acknowledge it, first of all. You can't stir a pot if there's nothing in it, right? So part of this exercise that he's getting Timothy to go through, almost without telling him, is he's going to have to first acknowledge. There's another scripture in Philemon, I believe, that says, you know, acknowledging every good thing that is in you. A lot of what we miss in life is we're not even acknowledging the gift that's already in those of us who believe. There's already a deposit. There's an eternal part of God himself in you the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ, and now his spirit has been put and joined in with our spirit. So there's so much right there that we have access to. We have to start by giving thanks for it, but you have to also stir that up. And he says Jude, verse 20 and 21. This is Jude writing. He says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Do you know that love takes investment? If you're not in love with your spouse, if you're not in love with your children, if you're not in a love relationship with your neighbor, there's only one problem. You've not sacrificially invested in that relationship. That's all there is to it. That's all there is. If you're not hearing the Lord's voice, you've not made time to sit alone and listen for his voice. That's the only thing. Jesus Christ dealt with the sin. We believe in him. We confess him unto salvation, unto direct access to the Father, the throne of grace, the doors off the hinges to that room. He says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. The only thing that can be missing in that whole equation is if we don't boldly go. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Everything in this world is trying to take you out of that relationship with God. Everything. Even the stuff that's not bad, it's still occupying your time. It's still something that's keeping you from his presence. It's keeping you from being in that place of patiently waiting and reading passages like I read from Revelation this morning in worship and just closing your eyes. Put some music on. Just sit. So what can you see? It was recorded for a reason. A lot of the visions and things that are recorded in this book, it's for us to have some template, to have some seed in our thinking to think that, wow, this is what really exists in the spirit world. I want to see that too. Don't you want to see some of this stuff? I want to see it. I don't care if everybody says that's just your imagination, or that's just something you dreamed up. Who cares? I'm doing it because I want to be in that place where I'm going to be forever. And when you do that, you find that suddenly the cares of this life are not carrying you down the way that they were. We had a great scripture last week from Luke 21 and verse 34. It says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness." Most people would say, hopefully most people in the room would say, that's not really me. Great. "And cares of this life." Now, if anybody, myself included, can just jump up and say, "Out of the cares of this life, I have none," I'd probably be in the same category as saying, "I never leave my socks on the floor." There is an element of care, whether it's for an individual that's sick, that's close to you, whether it's for your finances, whatever it is, if it's something attached to this world that you're in a concern and you have the cares and they're piling up on you, you are going to have a dilemma in your life. You're going to have to come to a place and recognize that I am distracted with this life and I need to get my focus off of this one and onto that one. We know the camp that is big on, you know, so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Unfortunately, that's usually directed at extreme situations where people really are just a little flaky. They're not truly in the spirit, because if you're truly heavenly minded, if you're truly thinking, if the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you," again, on you, right? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You're not going to be flaky, because Jesus wasn't flaky. He loved people with a genuine love. He cared about people with a genuine care. He visited people and went to their homes to share meals because he really wanted to be with them. He really, really did. We got to understand that. There's something in you when you meet somebody and you put yourself out there that you're kind of just going through the motions, like you're pushing through something. Why is that? I guarantee there's cares of this life that got you tangled up somehow, because you can't be heavenly minded and thinking like Jesus thinks about people. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, right? And then it's a challenge and a strain for you to pour out and to minister to people. And so I hope you've maybe jotted those scriptures down. There's another one that's a great scripture in Isaiah 54 on the same theme. No one else is going to do it for you. This is some of the things that you have to do for yourself. Isaiah 54:17 is a great scripture because there's a first part of the verse that everybody gets really excited about, especially in spiritual warfare. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Everybody loves that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Yes. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon. Nothing the devil tries to form. And they just have that one little phrase. But they don't read the punch part of the verse. The punch of the verse says, and because of this first reality, no weapon formed can prosper. The actual thing that you have to do now is every tongue that rises against you in judgment and condemns you, you have to condemn that. Every voice that comes into your mind that says, this is futile, this is worthless, there's no point to this, it's easier to just go with the flow. Why should I stand another week against the immorality or whatever it is that you're standing against? As believers, every single one of you must be standing against something. Whether it's a physical ailment, whether it's something of the, there's something of the curse of mankind that's fallen on this planet that you as a believer are standing against. Maybe you don't know it, that's great. But you're standing against it if you're truly a believer. And in that place, you walk in an authority, you have an actual divine mandate that you have to condemn anything that challenges that. It's not just going to go away by itself sometimes. Sometimes, remember the power of life and death is in the tongue, as Pastor Vaughn just said. You have to speak to the stuff. Whatever your stuff is that you're struggling with, if you don't speak to it, don't think God's going to. God spoke when Jesus Christ was on the cross. He spoke when Jesus Christ was baptized. And he said, this is my beloved son. I'm well pleased in him. And now by his inheritance being given to us, that falls to us. That's what God thinks of you. And everything that challenges that, unless you're living a sinful, hidden lifestyle, unrepented, unturned back to the Lord, then the voice of the Lord is the same to you. This is my son, this is my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Every voice that doesn't say that, excluding the possible conviction of the Holy Spirit, which brings change, but every other condemning voice that's going to speak to you in that place, you have to speak against it. You have to tell it that I've identified its source and you tell it to go back there. It falls to you as the believer. This is an amazing promise. It's an amazing scripture. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. You can't build up the righteousness that it takes to stand before a holy God. Only Jesus Christ could do it, and he did it successfully because we read about how he stood and how he was worthy to take that scroll. If he was not perfect and the perfect sacrifice, he would have looked at the scroll and he would have fallen done. That was the test of whether or not his work on the cross was sufficient and was it adequate and was it genuine. When he could look at the scroll and he could take it and open the seals to get you back, that proved for all of heaven and all of eternity, past, present, and future, that what he did was enough. And this righteousness that the saints of the Lord has, this is the heritage of the servants, and their righteousness is from me. God, not me, God. It is from him. Most people never advance past their initial salvation experience. For the ones that are stuck there, because they never understand that the righteousness you now have didn't come from you. It didn't come from your little decision that you made to pray a prayer. It came from heaven itself. This event happened in heaven outside of you. Before you, before the world began, before the foundation of the world, it says that his call went out for your life. He's called you before the foundation of the world. Yeah, your head's going to spin. It's going to get knotted up. There's going to be all kinds of theological stuff that tries to rob you from the simple truth. Just embrace the fact he loved you enough that you're in this room. You can hear his voice. You're hearing his truth. Embrace it. Embrace that precious reality for your life. You are a servant when you call upon him and when you align yourself with the provision that he has already made for you in heaven. It's a perfect gift, and it's a perfect righteousness. And when you realize that, you begin to function in a different level of authority, in a different citizenship. For those that weren't able to make the class this morning, Pastor Chris Paltilla did an amazing, amazing job talking about this citizenship, his illustration, what the Lord's been speaking to him about. yeah, I can't even start to go there. But just he's law enforcement, and sometimes he has to work with people that are going to be deported for whatever reason. They came on the radar, it's found out they don't have they're illegal immigrants, aliens. They're illegal aliens, right? That's the word. They're illegal aliens, and they have to go back. And in these interrogations, the stuff that they come out with and the reasons and the, but my parents been here, but all this stuff, but they don't have their name and their identity. There's not a number for them. They're not recorded in the book. And so they have to go back. It's not about how hard they're trying. It's not about how good they are, how sacrificial they're living, how much good that they're doing in the community. Are you written in the book? Is your righteousness from Christ, or is it something that you've tried to build up in your own being goodness? Your own trying harder. Unfortunately, my heart breaks when I see people that say they've been saved for 10 years, but then I realize, no, they just 10 years ago made a decision to try harder. They didn't actually meet the one who stands in the throne room and who took that scroll and opened it and found your name was there, paid for in full. It's a very different world. Maybe it sounds spooky. Good, I really don't care. There's a different reality. There's a different citizenship that Paul writes about. Are you in the Word? Are you in these epistles? Do you know from Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, have you read them through and through? Do you know that your righteousness is from God? You have to know these things. This is where you get the authority to speak to the stuff that comes against your life. Thank you, Jesus. One other thing, this is, yeah, I guess there's a lot. Now I just got to pick one of these, one of my little moments and decide which one's pieced together the best. Thank you, Jesus. True growth comes from growing people. Many of us want a bigger experience. Is there anybody here where your life, like Vaughn was saying, you've got so much money, you don't know what to do with it. You have so many friends, you're just having to start just eliminate some of them because you can't possibly have that many friends. Is there so many people that are enamored with you that you just don't know what to, you can't even go to the shop, right? You can't go to Hannaford because you're just surrounded and you're swamped in there. Now, it happens to people. I watched an interview with the guys from Duck Dynasty. They're on Larry King Now. For those that haven't discovered the number one watch show on A&E yet, you're missing out. Wednesday evenings. Born again family, miraculous born again salvation experience at 28 years old for the father. And he's the patriarch of that family, but it's an amazing functional family. It's very rare to see Louisiana, so that explains the other part of who they are. But just a great reality. And there's something. Where was I going with? Oh, we want a bigger life. I want a bigger life. This part of this road trip is because I realized my nation is this big and I've seen this big. There's a problem with that. There's a problem with that. Suddenly, there wasn't a problem all the rest of my life. There's so much beauty, and don't get me wrong, up in the Adirondack Mountains here, you could spend weeks just cruising around up in there. There's so much to see. New York is a beautiful state. The coast is right there, right down the coast, all the way through. It's beautiful. But it's this compared to this. And so now, why not? I need a bigger life, but this is where we get hung up. We want a bigger experience. Hopefully you do. Hopefully you do. Don't get confused about contentment. I'm talking about the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it, and so as his children, we have access to it. And so if we don't access it, it's almost like just getting saved and you don't experience the fullness of what the kingdom means and what's truly laid up for you in heaven. It's a practical, physical reality compared to that, but it's still the same thing. The point is still the same. There's an increase that should be in your heart that you want for your life. The problem is God's interested in building a bigger you before he's going to put you into a bigger promised land. Yeah. Growth, true growth, comes from growing people. Comes from growing people. 1 Corinthians 3 and 5 through 7. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. He's saying, who am I and who is this guy Apollos? Because they were having a bickering match over who was greater. He says, but we're both ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, so he went in and he preached the gospel, they responded, and Apollos came behind and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God wants to increase people's lives. He wants to increase the number of people that you have influence over. He wants to, this almost sounds like Joel Osteen probably. He's big on this faith, this growth. the increase that God wants to increase. So many people have plateaued and they just think, well, this is my lot, so now I'm just going to endure until the end of my days. And how is that working out for you? How much depression are you fighting? How much are you feeling? Once you decide that this is enough for me, there's this pressure that starts to come on your life. Sleeplessness, the fact that you become more lethargic, you're not burning enough calories, you're not working, you're not out there pressing for the next mountain. And therefore you find that if you're not invested in your future, no one else is doing it for you. Only the seeds you're sowing now are going to come to full harvest in the future. But you have to be diligently planting now and harvesting whatever you planted back there. It's a constant process. Seed time and harvest, it lasts throughout your days. It doesn't just end. This retirement concept is absolutely false. There couldn't be anything more false for those that believe. I'm not talking about your physical job. I'm talking about in your mind, in your heart. Is there a target that you've set for yourself where that's going to be enough and you're just going to coast out the rest of your days doing what? Gratifying the pleasures of your flesh, of what feels good? How long do people that we've seen that happen to, how long do they last? Sometimes less than a year. We have to keep moving. There has to be a desire for increase. But the thing is, God wants to build bigger people. He wants to increase you to be able to carry. When David was in the desert, in the wilderness with the sheep, with his harp and whatever he was doing out there, watching the sheep, before he was even anointed king, what he was doing is he was increasing. He just had himself and the Lord and some sheep that he was watching. And God would send in a bear. He sent in a lion, these things, or they just came, whatever the case is. But he had to face them and he had to defeat them. Why? He was increasing David. He was increasing his heart. David was a man after God's own heart. He was building, increasing in obscurity. Nobody even knew. He had no people skills. He was a complete, obsolete item out in the desert someplace. His brothers didn't even want to acknowledge when Samuel came looking for him that they even had another brother. His own father wanted to ignore him and just leave him out there. But what was God doing? But he was increasing David. David was investing in that love that we read, keeping yourselves in the love of the Lord. He was keeping his heart before the Lord. He was writing some of the Psalms that later, as he could sit down and have someone record for him, and he had a court recorder as king, when they began to write those Psalms down, those were built from in the wilderness. He just wasn't out there writing anything down because he didn't have, that was a wealthy thing to be able to write and to record and everything back then. But God was building it. David was increasing in that place so that when it was time for him to walk in front of an entire army, an entire nation, and stand before Goliath, Goliath was huge, David was tiny, but what had happened in his heart was that he had already been increased. God had already grew up a warrior that was so far bigger than his human stature, and no one else could see it, but it was in there. It was in there. The proof happened when Goliath fell. Everybody could then see it. And there's a time in your life when you have to realize whatever phase you're in, are you diligent about what it says Apollos watered? Who's watering your life? Because it's in the watering that it says God gives the increase. The person was adding water and God was adding the increase, but there was still a need for water. What's watering your life? Is it mainstream media? Is it the news? Is it whatever the latest judicial show that comes out is? What gets your attention? And is it watering your spirit man, or is it just something that's filling your day so that you can be distracted from whatever the cares of this life are bringing down on your shoulders? That's not our call. That's not our position. There's a grandiose plan that God has for your life, and it's way bigger than anything you've ever thought. The plan he has for my life is way bigger than I've ever thought, and I just believe that I'm going to stay in obedience before him and spend the time that's needed so I can hear what the steps are that I need to go into. That's my only fear in life, folks. The only fear I have is that there will be a step I'm supposed to take, and I don't take that. We've got such a short amount of time. There is such a short amount of time for you to accomplish whatever you're going to do on this earth that's going to cause someone else to inherit behind you. We have to get to work. We have to understand that time is short, that time is precious. A lot of the green thing, and I believe in green. I like a lot of the alternative energies and all of that. Organic food, health food, absolutely. There's no reason why we should poison ourselves. Don't get me wrong. But this whole, their mantra, maybe it's even Boy Scouts too, and you're right. When you go into the wild, you should try to minimize your footprint. Everything about this is, let's minimize our carbon footprint. Let's make it as if we disappeared. If we were born and we can leave this earth and no one would even know that we were here, we didn't break a blade of grass, we didn't step on an earthworm, we didn't kill an ant, we didn't do anything. It's called minimizing your footprint. You're trained about it when you go out in the woods. And it's good because you don't want kids out there beating down trees and, you know, breaking things off in the forest. The wild is there. It should be preserved, especially in state parks where hundreds of thousands of people come every year. If everybody mishandles the environment, then, yeah, it's abusive. It's wrong. And then people behind don't ever know what it even looked like once. Thank God for our state parks, our national parks. We're hoping to see some of the sequoias and the Sherman, what is it, the Sherman, General Sherman tree. I mean, I want to see these things. It's awesome that they've been preserved because someone looked ahead and said, let's not just chop them all down just for souvenirs or whatever. Let's minimize our footprint. But in the kingdom, everything in this kingdom is about the footprint of Jesus Christ. He wanted everybody to go. They were dispersed. He trained 12 and he sent them to the corners of the earth. Just 12. Of course, they made some disciples along the way. But the whole goal of this gospel is that your footprint should be growing every day. Every place you go, if you go to the same stores every day, there should be more people that when you're in that store, you say hi to every time you go in. There should be someone else that you know. Your world needs to be expanding. It has to be increase. You're growing or dying. There's the only two options. But it takes a proactive way of thinking. You have to consciously increase, or the cares of this life just constrict you and keep you to a certain size that will minimize your footprint. It's a scheme. I was reading an email this week. I'm so blessed. Tim and Gentry, they're part of this house, this little tiny speck on the map in Lake Katrine. And listen, they're in India right now. Tim and Gentry with baby Mariah. And this is an email that I just wanted to read. It's been an incredible week. We've been both speaking. Now, let me just say this first. They didn't go to fulfill a schedule. They went to create a schedule. Talk about breakthrough. They went to create opportunities for ministry for others and for themselves. So this is not some script that they're living through. They are literally going into India. And so without knowing, what are we going to find? Are we going to have opportunity? Our door is going to open. This is what's happening. It has been an incredible week. We have both been speaking up to 3 times a day, every single day. Talk about your footprint beginning to grow. So we have been able to share a lot. We are starting to focus on our life messages now. Many testimonies are coming to us of households getting saved. Today we had a family say they threw away all their idols and now they are seeing members in their family get jobs, be healed since coming to Christ. We also had 3 people get delivered from demons today. Very powerful. We also have testimonies of some minor healings happening after meetings. This is the life. Okay, so it's a few thousand miles away. But there is opportunity on this globe when you begin to understand that you're intended to put your feet wherever you choose. You don't need a divine, the earth is Lord's and the fullness thereof. I don't need a divine handwritten in the sky invitation to drive my RV to California. I don't have to go across any borders. Our state borders, you can just keep driving. You don't have to stop. There's not even any checkpoints. That's the level of freedom that we have. I can do that. I don't need permission. It belongs to the Lord. I'll have opportunities. I've never been to a megachurch. I want to go to a megachurch. I don't know which one it will be. Everybody says T.D. Jakes or go see Joel Osteen, whatever. I just want to be, you know, there's stuff that I believe would be in the hearts of people that just out of curiosity say, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what that's like. Dream. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to ask questions of the Lord that seem, you know, I went to Vaughn because I had this crazy idea. Who was here the Sunday morning when I mentioned that there was this dream that I had to get in an RV and go to the West Coast? Was it? All right, so a lot of you don't know. I just kind of mentioned it. I was in the heat of preaching, and I was just feeling this desire to dream again. And I said, and I just threw it out. I was like, I'm not going to. And then I just threw it out. I believe it was that Tuesday I went, and I just mentioned to Vaughn, because once I spoke it, it really started to grow on the inside of me. So I went to Vaughn for some sound reason and set me straight and just helped me understand this isn't the time. We just planted a church in Saugerties. We've got a lot going on, our family. And things and finances, it's really not the right time for us to do this. It's really not. You might as well just all know that. And so I was like, he'll at least be able to help me. I always looked at Vaughn like just a father in the faith to be able to speak some words of reason to me. And he's like, well, what are you going to do in 3 weeks? You got to go at least for 6, maybe 7 weeks. He's like, let's look at the calendar. So next thing you know, we got the calendar out on the table. He just like put fuel on the fire. He says, if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? My parents had a dream to do this. Well, that's when we were kids. I had a dream to do it in 2000, bought a camp trailer. It can't work because it's never the right time. So I decided that now is the right time. But I made a decision. No one was going to do it for me. I just needed to make a decision. Once it's easy, just make a decision and don't change your mind. I mean, you've probably heard him say that before. But it really does come down to that. Trust God with the details. All right? I'm going to close with this. Just one other thing that I can't remember if I read this in a book or if I dreamed this one up. But there's something I want us all to just leave with today, and it's time to close. So here we go. Let me finish the question before you answer, because now let me reword it. That'd be too awkward. Who has ever been on a you've been on the phone? Hopefully it's husband and wife. Probably it was boyfriend and girlfriend, but we'll just have to go there. I guess we have no choice. You were on the phone. Maybe you're in college. You're separated. Whatever you were a distance apart, and you got kissed over the phone. Oh, come on. Alice has. Other people have. Wow, great. Is that anyone else? I don't mean in a perverted way. I mean in a, yeah. Right? I mean, we've. Yeah, still, right? No, I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with it, just in case anybody was concerned about that. Yeah. Right? I mean, have you ever done that? Maybe you've done it to one of your kids or whatever. You know, give me kissy, kissy, when you know, over the phone. Did you get a big sloppy wet kiss when that happened? No. What did you have to use for that to be any kind of meaning? You had to use your imagination. You had to use, I know the person. I know their voice. I felt that. But even at best, that's just one level of intimacy. That's just one level of connectedness. And that's how, right now, that's how I feel. When I watch shows like Duck Dynasty and I realize the diversity that's in our culture, I realize the breadth of what our great nation has, I feel like I've seen it on TV. I've seen all the documentaries that Discovery Channel or History Channel or whatever the Outdoor Channel will do of the Rockies and some of the resorts and some of the stuff. I've seen the helicopter views. I've seen in stuff that you can't even go to in person because it would take a helicopter to go in and see the stuff. I've seen that, but it's still like a kiss over the phone to me. It's meaningful, right? You know it's there. You know the person loves you. You know that they've expressed their feelings, but it's still not that kiss. It's just not. It's funny. All the married couples are fine, and the younger ones are kind of squirming. All this talk about kissing. There's a difference. There's a difference, and what I can just kind of bring it all together with is this. What I was trying to get out of my heart this morning as I stood there in the presence of the Lord reading Revelation to everybody was the fact that many, many people are settling for a kiss over the phone with God, and that's what your worship is. It's like a phone call to God, but it's not like he's right there. He's not really. Now, there's some, I was up here in the front, there was some who you were beginning to feel the arms of the Lord around you. You were beginning to feel him standing with you. You could feel that you weren't alone. You could feel a warmth on the inside. You could feel his presence with you. You could begin to know on the inside of you that you are his beloved. You are his son, his daughter. You could begin to feel that because you're in faith, because you believe. You have that connection. But that's what I'm talking about. We've all got to find that. Not everyone's going to find it the first time you try. Sometimes it's going to take discipline. It's going to take getting in the Word, maybe listening to different music, maybe tuning some stuff out and bringing some new stuff in. But you got to keep it fresh. You got to keep that hunger. You got to believe that there is a God that doesn't just want to have a long-distance phone call with you, that he has chosen you. And his ultimate purpose for you is for you to not just hear about the greatness of his provision for your life, but for you to actually go and to touch it, for you to actually go like Tim and Gentry. We can all hear this awesome story of Tim and Gentry, but I'm telling you, I've been to India, I've been to Africa, I've been there in the meetings when the light goes out and the Holy Spirit falls down and you couldn't fall over if you tried. It's like he's all around you. You could try to fall over, you just couldn't. It's like his presence is that thick, that real. And you'll trade anything when you're in that moment to make it last as long as possible. And somehow, whatever goes on, it always seems to move away. But it produces a hunger and a chasing on the inside of your heart that will draw you into the next place of intimacy with him. But you've got to be hungry. You've got to set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth, because the cares of this world will suppress your life. So we could probably close with some ministry now, but I'm just going to ask everyone to just bow your head. Jesus, I thank you for this moment in your presence. And Lord, for those times where I've just been guilty of decades of my life just being satisfied with a long distance, just over the phone, a relationship with you. Lord, I don't want myself or anyone in this room just to know about you. But we want to be known by you. We want to have that place of intimacy in our prayer life, in our worship, where we're truly abandoned to you. Where the things of this world, as the songwriter said, would just grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and of your grace. Lord, please help us to set our affection, if it's even possible for you to help us, Lord. I don't even know theologically. But Lord, we want to choose by faith to set our affections on that place where you dwell, on that place where there's security. Lord, you said that you raised us up and that you've seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, allow us to be in that place as we embrace this coming week. Let us see this life for the opportunity that it is. That we could truly make the most of every conversation, of every moment that you give us, whether with people that we already know, with our family members, with our coworkers, or with people that we don't even know yet. Lord, would you minister to the hearts of your people?